Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Wes Durham joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Justin Hamilton ain't Bud Foster. That's what a lot of Hokie fans say, too.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Okay, cash out that alumni card. Let's go to Tallahassee. We're gonna finish up here. What are we doing?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's been a busy, busy, busy day. We're going to head to SEC Media Days live here in just a minute. Talk with our man Chris Goforth. A lot of people reacting to D-Hop's tweet that he put out there saying that, you know, it makes him think about his future. This is interesting, Mike, and we've been going back and forth today with a lot of people on this. Our poll question is up, and we invite you to go vote. Has the NFL, do you feel the NFL has gone too overboard with their new rules and restrictions for the upcoming season? And basically saying unvaccinated guys, if you cost your team a game,
right,
the game doesn't get made up, you don't get game checks, you get forfeited. A lot of people are reacting to this, but I think D-Hop's the biggest star that we've heard from yet, right? The biggest – we haven't heard any quarterbacks about this yet, but he's the biggest star in the league to at least make a statement
right
about
this. Cole Beasley is a football player. This guy is a superstar in the NFL.
Right.
You know,
that's
the thing. And as we said, you know, I mean, and everybody comes to it from a different background or a different approach. You know, we're talking about, you know, the NFL and the vaccinations. You and I have had these discussions with the folks on the text lines, on our Twitch. You can follow us, by the way. Watch the show on Twitch. I'm here at Studio Carl's over there at Stately Dukes Manor. But, you know, it's funny because it's funny that you have these two extremes. Like, you've got some guys who feel like you get that vaccination, Carl, and now George Soros' microchips are now flowing through your body. And it was a shameful part of American history, but the Tuskegee syphilis experiment, I mean, a lot of people bring that up, that they don't trust the government. They don't trust when something is thrust upon you. They don't trust the motives, even though it is purely to save lives and to be healthy. But, you know, again, you see where – I don't agree, but you see where people are coming from in these situations. Extremes.
Yeah, man. Exactly. All right, you can chime in. Dukes and Bell 929 on the Twitter, and we'd love to hear from you. Let's head to Hoover, Alabama.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is always brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Or you could just stay at home and never go outside. BrightBoxElectrical.com, the ultimate man cave home theater. They got generators, so the power goes out. You're fine, man. Create that bunker. Live it. Hey, man, it's BrightBox does not approve this message. BrightBoxElectrical.com, Carl.
Chris Goforth brought to you by DogNation.com, your home for the best coverage on Georgia football. Chris, before we talk about the last day and coaches speaking and things we learned this week, let's talk about the big news that dropped yesterday about Texas and Oklahoma being interested in coming to the SEC. I know everybody was reacting to this, and I even saw, you know, Jimbo Fisher. Oh, you know, be careful what you ask for. Everybody has a response to this. What did you get from the folks that you were talking to there at SEC Media Days about this?
Well, with hindsight being 2020, guys, now that I've had a few minutes, a little while to reflect on it since it happened yesterday, Ross Bjork said he's the AD at Texas A&M, and he just, by happenstance, showed up at the SEC Media Days yesterday. He claimed he didn't know anything about it until he walked through the doors of the Winfrey Hotel and he was hit with the news. I think the SEC presidents and athletic directors probably knew these conversations were going on. They might not have known how far down the road the SEC is and was with those two programs. But I think now in looking back on it that Bjork probably knew. I think, you know, Jimbo Fisher probably knew he was going to get a question, and I think that's where he had that quick comeback that he made yesterday when he was asked about it initially. I can tell you, I've talked with enough people at Texas A&M, including Ross Bjork, over the last 24 hours. They are not at all happy They are not happy.
No, I mean, they left Texas to get away from the yoke of oppression of the Longhorns, right, to carve out their own niche in the SEC.
Yeah, so did Missouri. That's two programs that left to get away from Texas. And, you know, the one thing when it comes to recruiting that state that Jimbo Fisher has had that Texas can't say is, hey, you come play for me, you're playing in the best conference. And I think among elite high school athletes, there is the idea that, man, if I'm going to get to the NFL, that's where I have to go. I got to go play in the SEC. So if it comes down to, you know, A&M, Texas, and Oklahoma, you're going to pick Texas A&M. Or if it's Texas and Alabama, you're going to go with Bama because you feel like you got to have that SEC exposure.
It's Chris Goforth, guys. He's been at SEC Media Days all week long. So Eli Drinkwitz from Missouri speaks today. Arkansas' Sam Pittman, former offensive line coach for the Dogs. And we heard from Brian Harsin at Auburn. So who impressed you today?
You know, really liked Eli Drinkwitz. The Missouri folks invited me yesterday, and I got a chance to spend some time with him last night. Really nice guy, funny guy, too, especially when you cut the recorder off. He's not afraid to tell you what he thinks. But, you know, again, he's bringing back the conference's co-freshman of the year and Connor Bazelak at quarterback, and they've got an Ohio State transfer at wide receiver. They feel like they're going to be better on offense. You know, they only threw 9 touchdown passes all of last year. And he said, if we're going to be better, you know, those numbers have to improve on offense. He took some of the blame for that when I talked to him. He said, look, some of that's on me as a play caller. Because he said, I got to have more trust in my quarterback. And last year with Larry Roundtree III, who I thought was maybe the most underrated guy in the SEC last year, he said, we had a big senior running back that we were able to feed the ball to in the red zone last year. He said it was hard not to do that and to turn around and put the ball in the hands of my true freshman quarterback. Sam Pittman talked a lot about his relationship with Kirby Smart. Said that if it's not for Kirby Smart, he would not be the head football coach at Arkansas right now. He talked a lot about the relationships that he's got there. He's got 11 super seniors at Arkansas, so 11 guys that could have left but decided to take advantage of the COVID year and come back. So he's got 11 super seniors and 23 seniors overall. I think Arkansas 1 through 11 guys may be okay. They're not going to be Bama. They're not going to be A&M kind of good. But I think at least 1 through 11, they can be competitive. Problem for Arkansas is going to be when you have to go to your 12th guy or your 15th guy, that's where I think they're going to struggle a little bit. Brian Harsin, the 14 head coaches this week, he's by far and away the most boring. if you got a hard time sleeping, I will be glad to send you the transcripts of his talk today at SEC Media Days. You know, pray for the guy that has to host his coaches show, because I swear, the guy about put me to sleep. He has mastered the art of talking a lot and not saying anything. I don't know anything more about Auburn right now than I did before I heard the guy talk today. Wow. Here's what I know. Their offensive line is a mess. They knew that back in the spring. I talked with Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network about it earlier this week, and Cole said he was a little shocked that they didn't try to address that in the transfer portal this year, but they didn't. The offensive line is going to struggle. There's still question marks about Bo Nix. Mike Bobo is the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach there. We know Bobo can coach some QBs. The question that I think a lot of Auburn people have about Bo Nix is he willing to accept coaching?
Interesting.
There's some people there that feel like we haven't seen, you know, Bo Nix is pretty much the same guy he was when he got on campus. Auburn people have said that that was his, if his dad wasn't an Auburn legend, that maybe Bo Nix wouldn't be the starting quarterback at Auburn. So that to say, Bo Nix was one of the guys that Brian Harsin brought with him today that stood up and talked to the media. So take from that what you will. We'll see what Auburn's going to look like this year. I know, you know, it's kind of a make or break year for Bo Nix. I don't think he's still proved himself. He's going to have to do it this year behind a bad offensive line.
No, it's like Buck Belue type throwing numbers for him last year. I mean, to be honest with you, it's like, you know, if it was at 1980, it would be cool. Yeah, and Brian Harsin, for those who don't remember, guys, from Boise State. And it wasn't as bad because Chris Goforth joins us here live, and it's brought to you by Dog Nation, all the coverage, your home for the best coverage on Georgia football from SEC Media Days. With Brian Harsin, it wasn't as lukewarm as when Gene Chizik showed up. Remember that, Carl? They were booing him at the airport.
That's right.
There was one crazy guy screaming. But, I mean, maybe undercover is the way to go as you build this thing back up. I don't know. It further reinforces how easier it should be for Georgia with all these new first-year head coaches, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about four new head coaches this year, eight new head coaches combined the last 2 years in the SEC. So to your point, Mike, I think, you know, again, we said it the other day, if not now for Georgia, when? Because I think the window to get it done is really wide open right now when you look at the rest of this conference.
Well, Chris, first of all, great job this week on all the shows. We know it's not easy there being in Hoover, but you made it, and I hope you make it back home safe, and we'll hear from you on College Football Game Time with the guys. Looking forward to the college season getting underway. Great job this week.
Hey, guys, I appreciate it. Talk to you guys soon.
All right, man.
And if you missed it earlier, five-star running back Branson Robinson to UGA. They finished what they started, Carl. More information about this young man. Have you seen some of this stuff? He is he's a record-holding power lifter. Again, we joked around about the Mike Davis shot from Falcons camp, from minicamp. This dude, Carl, deadlifts 720, can squat over 630, and bench over 375.
Yeah, he's a monster, man. The pictures don't lie. And it's funny because a couple of years ago, I remember seeing a photo and somebody had sent it to me from a kid in Texas, and I was like, this ain't real. And they were like, yeah, he's going to Alabama. And this guy looked like he had been a 10-year vet in the NFL. Kids don't look the same. They just don't. I mean, guys coming out of high school now with the weight program, training regimen, diet, it's just different. And it's even different than 10 years ago. If you're 10 years right out of high school and you're like, yeah, it's different. And for guys like us who've been out of school 20 years or more, it's completely different than what it used to look like, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I would have taken all the Joe Weider powder there was, Carl. We never looked like that.
Never looked like that.
Remember when everybody was doing, like, spoons of creatine back in the day? Yeah, everybody's walking around like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
So this kid is really good, really talented, obviously number one running back in the country, coming out and choosing the Dogs is a big deal today. Again, for Kirby Smart, as he likes to say, go Dogs. I want to see the Dogs win some championships.
Got
to
do something with this talent. Like, no one debates what you've got, what he's built. They're recruiting at the highest level. They're recruiting better than Rick recruited, but it's got to result in a natty. And again, the good news is, Carl, everything is in place. Kirby's obviously not going anywhere, but the quarterbacks are set. Running backs are set. You've got all these weapons now. I mean, you've got everything Alabama's got other than the rings.
All right, we didn't get a chance to talk some Braves earlier because we were talking about this young man deciding to go to Georgia. It happened earlier this afternoon. We'll get into what's going on with the Braves. Brian Snicker says one of the additions to the team has been a big, big piece, and Freddie is getting hot. Mike has been saying this. The numbers don't lie. Coming up, Falcon Report, and also we'll replay what Brian Billick had to say as part of the Falcon Report today in regards to this new protocols, or at least what the NFL is hoping to make players abide by. And again, they can't force anybody, but you put this in the rules, and Mike, you're kind of saying, hey, we're scooting you along. We're pushing you in that direction.
Right. If you don't want to get vaccinated and you are part of a reason why a team has to forfeit a game, you're not getting a paycheck for that week. Remember, guys, 17 weeks of football now. Okay. It's no longer 16 with a, you know, it's 17, 18 weeks with a bye. So I guess they're feeling that they're not going to want to go through the kind of gymnastics they did logistically to get those Ravens and Titans and Steelers games. And remember how crazy it got at one point?
It did.
Where there was like 5 days between one game and you had to complain Tuesday nights and things like that. So the NFL obviously is about the dollars, and they don't want to be in that situation again. So look, players are going to – some people, it's a very personal decision. I don't deny it's not – I never said it's not a personal decision. I just think it's – you know, for some people, I think it should be pretty obvious which way to go with it if you're a younger guy. But – a lot of these guys are pushing back on it, so we'll see. I don't think, and I appreciate Rich is an attorney who emailed us. He listens to the show in Birmingham, by the way. Carl, that's kind of cool. And he was saying that there's language in the CBA. It's like these guys can all get together and sue the league. You know, remember we talked about the new collectively bargained agreement? So, I mean, you basically, these guys.
I'd love to see it.
They've signed on to a lot of things that, you know, but this is why, again, this is why a bunch of guys in the NFL, for every guy who knows what's going on in the world, you've got man children who didn't even read the thing they signed. Remember some guys signed off on it and then wanted to change their vote? And
of course,
like everything else in America, it was like a 51-49 proposition. So you got a lot of guys unhappy with the league and their contract, and now in some cases they feel now this is being put upon them.
I'll say this in regards to the personal decision thing. When you're on a team, it's bigger than you. Your responsibility to your teammates, okay, comes into play. This ain't tennis. This is not golf. When you're playing on an NFL team, okay, with 58 or 60 other guys or whatever it ends up being, your commitment is tied into other guys. If I have the flu and I come into the locker room and have no disregard for you whatsoever and I'm going, what's wrong, Carl? I got the flu, dog. I'm sorry, man. Mm-hmm. That's not what happens. I stay away from people in the locker room because I don't want to get them ill. And I only bring this up to say it is a personal decision for most Americans who are not tied to a team situation in the NFL. So that goes along with this discussion. It's just not about guys going, and if you don't want to do it again, opt out like you did last year. But understand, this year if you opt out, Mike, you're not getting paid. Because last year was an unusual circumstance. Everybody was adjusting and dealing with that. This year the NFL has already put into place. You can opt out. That's mm-hmm. no problem. You have that choice. You won't be getting any compensation.
Right. Now, again, guys already been vaccinated. What are you talking about? Some people are saying, well, look, what's the point of getting the vaccination if I'm just going to get COVID anyway? Well, you're going to have reportedly, you're going to have a lighter case. You know, you're not going to have they feel all the effects that other people had, let's say, last year. And then in the case of the NFL protocols, it's 24 hours that you've got to have a clear test and you're good to go. So you can test positive on Tuesday, you're clear by Thursday, you're good to go for Sunday. Some of these folks are not vaccinated, they get a positive, you're out for 10 days.
That's two games.
And that's why they're creating this sense of urgency, for lack of a better word, to go get your shot.
All right, man, more on this coming up as part of our Falcon Report. It's Dukes and Bell. We got some guy talk on the way as well. Braves game suspended last night. So they didn't finish that game. They'll resume that in progress once they pick it up. We believe that's going to happen when they go out west to play the Padres. Right. But Mike, the series tonight starts the Phillies. And you got Morton on the hill. I just want to talk about Freddie Freeman for a minute, and I'm going to let you hear Freddie because he went deep the other night. It was a big home run. But you've been saying his numbers are coming along. I was talking about his OPS, and sometimes that can be misleading to people because they go, wait a minute, he's getting on.
Right.
OPS is slugging and on-base percentage combined. It really tells you the makeup of a hitter and how well he's playing. Freddie's OPS, you go back and look at it, up until the All-Star break, was down as low as it's been in like three or four seasons.
Right.
So that is on the way up too. But Mike, the numbers are looking upwards for Freddie. And, you know, we talk about all these other guys and the keys. Mm-hmm. But he's got to play like the MVP.
Right. I mean, he's on pace for at least 35 home runs, close to 100 RBIs, and the average right now is at 284. To your point about the OPS, it is now over 9. And to give you some reference, Acuna was 990 before he obviously got injured. But so Freddie's he's hitting well, all those measurables that we expect Freddie to get to. So he's the guy that I've always said can stir this drink. You know, Austin Riley, he has been solid as well. Now his OPS is a little bit down. Still getting a lot of strikeouts with Austin, but that's kind of how he does things. But, you know, can I just say something? A couple of guys brought this up the other day.
Sure.
Why do the Braves have to keep rolling with Dansby?
In the lineup, period?
They've got control over the salary. And I'm just saying, down there, he needs to pick it up.
Okay.
Dansby needs to pick it up. I know, 16 home runs, 42 RBIs for a decent fielding shortstop. But, I don't know, I've seen a lot of at-bats, and I'm of the opinion that I could probably find better this offseason if I wanted to.
So you're
234 hitting this year.
You ready to move on from it?
I am.
Okay.
And I know that if there's women listening, no, he's so pretty. I know. And I don't know what their big plan is, but I just, 230, I mean, remember when they put him in the leadoff spot? It was a disaster. Remember those few games where they had him batting first?
Yep. They tried to shake it up.
I mean, when I was a kid, you and I joked around about this a few weeks ago. Remember when you collected baseball cards? There was always a shortstop who couldn't hit his weight, but he was a gold glove, you know, fielding.
Like it didn't matter.
Like Mark Belanger, right? I mean, there was always a guy. He couldn't do anything but field, and he batted eighth for his entire life. He batted eighth, and he bunted, right? I mean, Dansby needs to be more than that to me. Just a sidebar.
No, man. Listen, I think as we evaluate this team, okay? And everything you're saying is fair. I have no issues whatsoever with it. I'm not going to sit here and argue with you about whether or not we should trade or move on from Dansby. I think everybody has to be evaluated as we didn't achieve the goal last year, right? So you came back with the nucleus intact. Again, I can't point the finger at Alex Anthopoulos and say he didn't do his job this offseason. He did what most of us wanted him to do. If you thought they were going to go spin ridiculously, that was not going to be the case. The only guy that was going to happen with, potentially, and thank God it didn't, was Trevor Bauer. And now he's not playing. So, you know, you put everything intact, and then you things out of your control fall apart. Now you have to evaluate everybody on this club, Mike, and say, okay, is this moving in the direction that it should be? Now, the two guys they're not going to mess with because the salary situation is Ozzie and Acuna. They got them locked up for cheap.
And look, I know Dan got more home runs than Ozzie. And if you feel it in today's, you know, launch angle baseball, Carl, strikeout or home run, he's right where he needs to be.
Yeah, high leverage.
But I still don't buy it.
Okay. And so I'm glad you brought that up because I know some people have said that to me. Because, you know, I love the fact that when he goes deep and we make fun and we have a lot of fun with Dansby making plays, but is he giving you enough? And I don't think that's unfair to ask. I would tell you, and I said this the first half of the season, Freddie wasn't giving me enough.
Right.
Acuna was carrying us. So it's fair to say that. That's why I need Freddie to continue to pick up his slugging and his hitting, his home runs, driving in more runs. That's going to help this team win. Speaking of Freddie, here's what he said about feeling good at the plate. All right, computers went down on us there. Freddie was talking about the fact that after his last home run,
right. He's
gotten into a comfort level and a comfort zone. And that's why I think, Mike, you know, we're seeing these averages go up. Here it is.
He had gotten me out with a cutter and a slider. So I figured with Jock striking out in his third at bat with a heater after I fouled off the splitter, he was going to go heater away. So that kind of went for that in that situation. And, you know, thankfully I guessed right.
And if you love baseball and the game within the game, there you go.
I mean, man.
That's why we always talk about, do you have a plan when you're going up to the plate? Some guys are just natural athletes and never have a plan. But yeah, Freddie has definitely got his thing in gear right now. And that's great to hear. And by the way, it's worth repeating. Let's hope that Tukey gets another start and does the same thing. Cause that would really be a shot in the arm.
Well, that would be like, you know, that unexpected run that he went on at the beginning of the season when nobody expected him to be that good and he was your best pitcher. If Tukey could give us three or four of those kinds of starts, depending on how this is going to shake out with guys on the IL, I'm with you. I mean, let's see where it goes. The Phillies are 6-4 in their last 10 games, guys. But we know this is a dangerous team with their lineup. Obviously, they got Bryce. This team feels like they're right on the cusp of making a run, just like we have been. But it has yet to happen. But with the Mets not doing anything, Phillies are right where we are. They're like, we're in this thing. So this is a big series for both the Mets or the Phillies and the Braves.
Yep. 3.5 back are the Phillies. Braves 4.5 back. Nats are 6 back. And again, the Mets just kind of grinding, right, which is kind of what they've done. And if you take back some of those blown saves and kind of curious snicker decisions, the Braves can still very easily be in first place.
Yeah, this is a big one. I mean, I know we're all curious about the Mets, and that's a head-to-head thing. Mm-hmm. If you were to win we're playing 5 games, right, because it's a doubleheader next week. If we win 4 of those 5 games, that's a full game. That's a big deal.
Yeah, Mets are off today, so you'd pick up a half game if you beat the Phillies, and the Mets then travel. They got Toronto.
So that's this one's big, too. So we'll see. Let's hope they respond, man. And Charlie Morton gives us a really good start. Hey, Mike, we got to get to some guy talk, brother.
Yeah, man. Oh, boy, they were having some fun up there in Milwaukee. Just how much does one of those bottles of Jay-Z's Ace of Spades champagne go for? Well, it depends if you're an NBA player, then it goes for a lot of money. But, yeah, man, nothing like getting drunk in public, and it's all good if you won the championship. Also, Carl, a man survives a bear attack in Alaska. I think I found the next Liam Neeson movie. I'll explain. It is. God, is he doing the same thing over and over or what? Anyway, it's all coming up as part of Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell. Next. Hey, man, you bet it is Thursday. And we got plenty to get into here, brought to you by our buddies at Hoots Wings, Chicken Wings, and other things, locations all around Metro Atlanta. So get it on, man. Look for the orange awning. Look for that Dukes and Bell Hey Man Ale, along with your buffalo shrimp, your fried pickles, tots, curly fries. I got it all, man. And the wings are fantastic. So go get it together, man, and get the beer. I sound like Jimbo Fisher there for a second. I just heard Mike Conti play that. I was telling Chris Carl, our engineer, I said, you never heard anything like Squidbilly years ago when we had Jimbo Fisher on hold. It sounded like dueling boomhowers from King of the Hill. You know, it's like, hey, coach, good to have you on the program. Well, thanks, man. It'll be a good time. Looking forward to talking to Atlanta. So that's, you know, every time when Jimbo gets going, it's like 100 miles an hour.
He speaks fast. He does.
Made me
he
chuckle.
I'm going to go worry about what I'm going to do. Whoa, coach. Yeah, like,
by the way, hey, the Texas, and we'll talk more about it next hour, the Texas thing coming to the SEC is an absolute nightmare for A&M. They really thought they had escaped. They really did. Hey, man, a couple of stories.
I'm just worried about A&M.
All right, man. Hey, a couple of things, starting off with a parade. And everyone I spoke with today who looked at the video and you saw the stuff going on in Milwaukee saying, could you imagine here in Peachtree? Well, no, I can't. I mean, I could try to imagine it, Carl. We certainly would have a hell of a time here in Atlanta and wrap it up at potentially, I don't know, Centennial Olympic Park or whatever. Bucks players drinking some serious bubbly at their parade. P.J. Tucker getting it in. Everybody throwing down bottles of Ace of Spades, which is obviously Jay-Z's bubbly. And again, Carl, the cheapest bottle that I looked at was $275. There's Mac bottles that go for as much as $850.
Yeah, Jay has done really well with this. So
yes, good niche you jumped into.
Yeah, in the club it'll cost you about $2,000. Mm-hmm. You know, because everything.
Yeah, but they come out with sparklers. I mean, it's worth this the extra $1,000.
Are you talking about the sparklers or the girls?
Well, there's nothing like being the big swinging at the club when you go for the bottle service and they make the big production number. You and I've done this. Matter of fact, the first time Carl and I ever hung out in Vegas, we did this. So, they brought the bottles out, and you then later on your wife says, "Why did you spend $4,000 with this guy, Mike?"
I have had. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I know, you know, it's big baller stuff, but I've had Ace.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
I'm not a champagne guy, so okay. I literally am the wrong. I mean, I can drink Moet and Chandon.
And I say that, Jay, with all due respect.
Yeah, I mean, honestly. Honestly.
I know you got people who got people.
I mean,
it's good, but like for the price, I'm like,
But honestly, I'm just not a champagne guy. New Year's is literally the only time I drink champagne.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if I walk around unless I'm having mimosas on a Sunday brunch where I'm enjoying champagne.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's all. I mean, I know. I just don't. I have a champagne. Taste. For, I have a taste for scotch and whiskeys. I just don't even know what the good champagne. I mean, I'm sure if I tasted it, I guess it would. Anyway, PJ Tucker was
sweet.
Sweet. Like perfumey and tasty, you know, and like candy. P.J. Tucker was lit after the parade, chugging from the huge bottle of the aforementioned Ace of Spades. Tucker had a bit of trouble keeping his balance, gave the crowd exactly what they wanted, taking big swig after big swig, pouring bubbly all over himself and others. Giannis also shook up a bottle and sprayed it. Giannis having a great time. It's really, like I said, the more we heard about and heard from him, he really is such a rootable, a likable guy. You know, and I don't know, will they repeat? Well, we'll see. We may have something to say about that next year here with the Hawks.
I hope we do. And, you know, I know it's rare that it happens. I love to see them again in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, there's a lot of things that have to play out. But as someone said to me, you know, we were talking about Giannis yesterday and him ordering the 50 chicken nuggets and all that at Chick-fil-A. This was the year. I mean, Lakers without Anthony Davis, they get beat. Jamal Murray, one of the premier scorers in the Western Conference, goes down. Kawhi's hurt. Giannis hyperextended his knee. I mean, you start thinking about all these things that played out as to how the playoffs went. This was a year that it was anybody's ballgame. Next year, everybody could be completely healthy, Mike, and it is a dogfight to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
And we'll talk more about it in the 6 o'clock hour.
But, and Embiid, too.
Right, Embiid went down. Oh, Kongwu is now out for at least 6 months with a shoulder injury. We'll tell you more about it. Speaking of injuries, this guy got banged up. I joked around with Carl before the break. I said, this could be the next Liam Neeson movie. A U.S. Coast Guard air crew rescues a man Friday near Nome, Alaska, Carl, who said he was attacked by a bear. Officials say the Kodiak, not the bear, the Kodiak is the town, Kodiak-based helicopter crew was flying from some town I can't pronounce to Nome when they saw an SOS sign on top of a shack near a remote mining camp. The crew circled back and spotted a man in front of the shack waving down the helicopter with both hands. Man tells the crew that a bear had attacked him a few days earlier and had harassed him for a week straight. The man had bruising on his chest and a leg injury. I've got a specific skill set in fighting bears, according to the Coast Guard officials. Officials say friends of the man reported him overdue when he hadn't returned to Nome. Coast Guard crew transported him where he received medical attention. So, of all the Liam Neeson movies, which are kind of blending into one another, could this be the next one? Like The Gray, which is god-awful, the most depressing movie I've watched in a while.
So, it's funny you said that.
That's the wolf attack movie, yeah.
Going into the break when you were talking about this. So when I got stuck in the airport, right, I'm looking for stuff to do. The game had gone off. That was the night of or the day of game, whatever, 5 or 6. I watched Ice Road, Truckers. This is a movie that's on Netflix. I think it's called Ice Road, not Truckers.
Okay, because the trucker, that's the reality show, right?
It's just called The Ice Road, and it's Liam Neeson. and it is him in character as he's been in every other movie, Mike. And I don't know why I did this, because it was free maybe, but I'm like, yeah, just whatever. And I turn it on, and literally, it's the same dude. You are so right. But this time, I'm driving an 18-wheeler truck. And he's going across like an ice bridge. And he has to make it across and save the world. And I'm like, oh. So I just laughed when you said it, because it was the same dude.
I watched the one where he's on the airplane with the phone and they don't know who's actually threatening. I'm like, why am I watching this? It's the same freaking stuff. It's like Harrison Ford got in that rut. You know, it's like, get off my plane. He was the same guy in every movie. Hey, man, one funny story. By the way, we mentioned the black bear attacking the Alaskan bear.
Guess
attacking
he's making
this guy.
Money, though.
Oh, he's getting paid, man. Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a Japanese black bear, which is apparently menacing the softball venue, which is north of Tokyo. And apparently the American team was on the lookout for this bear. Apparently at one point he broke into the stadium, Carl. And obviously, he loved sunflower seeds. He went to town. That's a baseball joke right there. But keep an eye on that. Hey, one last nugget. Speaking of baseball, before we get to the closing bell, I don't know if you guys have ever seen a proposal at a sporting event or maybe in a restaurant. I told the story to Carl years ago. I was about 12 or 13 when the Mets were terrible at Shea. And a guy asked his girlfriend to marry him, and she said no. And it looked like literally right out of Saturday Night Fever. The guy had the look, and you know, the girl had the big hair, and she goes running up. She's like, oh, my God, Anne Marie. And she goes, and she says no. Well, listen to what happened up in Boston. Embarrassing video. It's out there. You can Google it. A Worcester Red Sox game, Kyle. A would-be romantic gesture prompted cheers at Polar Park as this dude dropped on one knee. And he kind of looks like the guy from the Sam Adams commercial. Your cousin from Boston. And so he gets down on one knee, and she puts her hands over her mouth, shakes her head. You can see her say, no. And I have to go. And she can be heard saying before she bolts up the stairs. The woman was horrified after the proposal. Gentleman ran after her with two of his buddies, Stephen Worcester, a fan in attendance, told our friends at the sports hub, I saw the whole thing. It was horrifying. So, again, you must know which way the wind is blowing before you shoot your shot. Would you agree?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, like, you better know, because that could be the most embarrassing moment of your life. You better know she's going to say yes. You better know.
Hey, man, let's hit the closing bell. See what we did anything on Wall Street today. Hey, stocks making big moves after the closing bell. Twitter, Snap, Intel. Hey, man, Dow Jones up 25. S&P was up a little bit. NASDAQ was up. So I'll take a green. It's brought to you by our buddies at Alliance Tax Solutions, guys. If the IRS has been up your tookus, get them off your back, man. They're relentless. Get the guys who can negotiate a deal you can live with. Better than that, actually, go to AllianceTaxSolutions.com. A couple of funny birthdays, Carl, for the 22nd. You got a birthday today. You share it with Danny Glover. I'm working with a psycho. He's 75 today, Carl.
Yeah,
from Lethal Weapon and everything else, Color Purple.
I love Danny Glover. I do. I mean, I know he's not doing anything these days. He don't have to. He's made all those movies. But I love Danny Glover just as a character actor, man. And I think he's one of the most solid actors of his generation.
Your boss is roasting his nuts on Sunset Boulevard. Still makes me laugh. Diplomatic immunity has just been revoked. Hey, Willem Dafoe, one of the great actors of our generation, played a million characters, Carl, 66. The old joke about Willem Dafoe, they said he looks like the boy next door if you live next to a cemetery. He's 66. John Leguizamo is 57. Talented guy.
Yes, he is.
Heisman Trophy winner, college and pro Hall of Famer. Tim Brown is 55 today. Ezekiel Elliott is 26. He's got a lot of loot. Selena Gomez, 29 today. The ever snarky David Spade, bye-bye, is 57. Here's a blast from the past, Carl, from our R&B days. Keith Sweat is 60 today.
Oh, you know he's going to whine, baby. He's going to whine for you.
Speaking of R&B and everything else, George Clinton, Parliament Funkadelic, he is still kicking. Him and Bootsy are making a record. He's 80, by the way, still
That's
doing
amazing.
His thing.
That's amazing. And Bootsy Collins, man. Yeah. I mean, if you want to do some background history stuff, Bootsy Collins, one of the most talented musicians, period.
Good dude. Hey, man, Cy Young Award winner from 77, back when relievers pitched more than three outs. Sparky Lyle also wrote one of the greatest sports books, The Bronx Zoo. He's 77. Keyshawn, 49. Steven Jackson's 37 today. We got him on the back end here of the Falcons. Sonny Liston would be 90 today, Carl. It didn't end well for him.
Wow.
And Alex Trebek would have been 80 today.
Great stuff, man. And Trebek, they've been doing the fill-in host, Mike. Mm-hmm. I don't Are they going to hire somebody full-time?
Nobody likes anybody, really, other than, I mean, I don't know. Aaron Rodgers was adequate, but I don't know where you go with that.
All right. I know they've been doing the fill-in thing.
Be kind of funny if Will Ferrell did a gig on that, you know?
Big shoes to fill, though, bro, for real. All right, great stuff. Coming back. We've been talking about it all day. And ironically, something we mentioned just an hour ago has completely changed.
Uh-oh.
You'll hear from Brian Billick as he talks about why the NFL is putting in place the things they're putting in place. Stay right there.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.